Rock and roll landed in the British Isles like a Martian spaceship. There was scarcely the Afro-American music or subculture here that could prepare anyone for the brutality and sheer sexual explosiveness of the records that between 1954 and 1959 seemed to drop from heaven like the offerings of a cargo cult. These records were so transforming that nobody who heard them could find a language to explain them, except in the phrases of the songs themselves, which talked in tongues. A wop-bop-a-loo-bop, bee-bop-a-loo-la. From these alien incantations was born the quasi-religious fervour with which the British still celebrate pop. This intensity heralded the religion of the teenager. In 1948, 60% of English people under 30 wanted to emigrate. To teens, in the mid-1950s, rock and roll carried, encoded within its arcane language, the promise of a new world. A world where they did not have to do national service, where they didn't have to keep on hearing stories about the war, where they could reject sacrifice, where they could have sex and consume freely, where they could drift, cruise, run wild. Most of all, they wanted to do as much as they could, as soon as they could. And this first-time intensity, epitomized by rock and roll, is the hallmark of the teenage dream. The stereotype of the street photographer as a stealthy character, able to slip deftly in and out of crowds without any direct engagement, is very much a portrait of Henri Cartier-Bresson, certainly one of the greatest and probably still the most influential street photographer to date. A velvet hand, a hawk's eye, these are all one needs, he famously pronounced. He once compared himself to a cab driver, an anonymous someone to whom people reveal their inner selves. Cartier-Bresson also had very firm views on photographic protocol. All his pictures were unposed. He never used flash. He considered it impolite, like coming to a concert with a pistol in your hand. And he rarely cropped his images in the darkroom. In many ways, his very pure methods have come to be regarded as the gold standard of street photography. But not all great street photographers work in the same way. William Klein, the enfant terrible of 1960s street photography, provides an obvious counterpoint to Cartier-Bresson in his methods. Klein thrived on confrontation and was wholly unconcerned at offending people, whether out in the street or with the gritty look of his prints. "I didn't relate to European photography," he has explained. "It was too poetic and anecdotal for me. The kinetic quality of New York, the kids, dirt, madness. I tried to find a photographic style that could come close to it. So it would be grainy and contrasted and black. I'd crop, blur, play with the negatives. I didn't see clean techniques being right for New York. I could imagine my pictures lying in the gutter like the New York Daily News."